It is so good to be here this morning. So we're continuing in Nehemiah's story. I guess we'll take that off right now. The work to restore the city of Jerusalem is going pretty well. They have finished repairing the walls by chapter 6. They have only to fix the doors. So it's good. Things are going well. But, you know, when you're trying to protect your city and you have good walls but no door, you still have a problem. You still are very vulnerable. And so the opponents to the work, some of those neighboring governors that we've met before, they are getting more and more worried as they see the progress that's coming along. And so they have tried to stop or slow the work before, and now they're getting a little more desperate. Their tactics are getting a little more underhanded, as we've seen. The names that we have of these governors of nearby nations, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, they send a messenger. And the message that they send to Nehemiah is, "Come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono." Seems innocent enough, right? But Nehemiah immediately discerned that they were scheming to harm him. Verse 2. So he sent his messengers to tell them that he was busy with important work. 4 more times they sent a messenger with the same message. And each time Nehemiah's reply through a messenger, so he did not actually leave the work site, his reply was no, the work must continue. The 5th time, they sent the same message along with an open letter. So this is like the equivalent of a send to all email or a status update that's about to go viral. And the letter, this open letter starts, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says that it is true that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt. And therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king." It's like saying, "It is reported on the internet and confirmed by my favorite internet personality that this is true." Fill in the blank about whatever gossip or rumor it might be. Or one of my favorites, "People are saying..." Although in this case they kind of threw Geshem under the bus and named him, but so often it's just "people are saying." I mean, no one really wants to take responsibility for whatever the gossip or the lie is. And there are lots of different ways to disguise lies as truth, aren't there? But Nehemiah doesn't fall for it. He simply replied, again through a messenger, "No such things, as you say, have been done. You are inventing them out of your own mind." That's the New Revised Standard Version. I love that. "You are inventing them out of your own mind." Or maybe put a little more simply in the New Living Translation, "There is no truth in any part of your story. You are making up the whole thing." Nehemiah did not take the bait. He did not leave the work. He sent the final message and continued with the work that God had put before him. Nehemiah, again, discerned correctly what was going on here. He said in his memoir that we have in our Bibles, "They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed." Realizing this, Nehemiah did not leave the work to go talk to them or engage in a lengthy debate through messengers. After briefly setting the record straight, he prayed quickly and returned to the work. his prayer. Now strengthen my hands. What a good prayer. A good, quick prayer that he needed. The detractors were trying to distract from the work using fear tactics, hoping that he and all the workers would just back off in fear. So he asked God, now strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands for this work. So Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, these three governors, their distraction and intimidation plan has failed. So now they try something more insidious. In the story, the scene suddenly changes. So the next thing we know, Nehemiah has actually left the work, which is surprising. And he's gone to visit the home of a man named Shemaiah, an Israelite, who may have been a priest and seemed to function as a prophet. We don't know why Nehemiah went. Maybe he was sent for. But this time Nehemiah left the work and went to see Shemaiah. See, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem were opponents from the beginning, especially Sanballat and Tobiah. I'm like combining their names. Those two have made their opposition to this project of God as early as chapter 2. They are outside of the family of God and the people of Israel. And they've been opposing Nehemiah the whole time. But Shemaiah is not only inside the family of God and the people of God, but he's a spiritual leader, it seems. He's a prophet and maybe also a priest. Someone that Nehemiah would probably trust, or would certainly be more likely to trust. But when Shemaiah said that there was a threat to Nehemiah's life and that they should hide in the temple immediately, Nehemiah again discerned correctly that this was not a legitimate word from God. He says in verse 12, I realized that God had not sent him. He realized that Shemaiah had taken money from Tobiah and Sanballat to deliver a message of their choosing. And what's worse, making it seem like the message is from God when it wasn't. Later in verse 14, we find out that Shemaiah is not the only prophet of God that has turned against Nehemiah. There's another prophet named Noadiah, and Nehemiah says that she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me. So Nehemiah is opposed even by the so-called prophets of God. Nehemiah again quickly says something to the effect of, no thank you, and again he prays. This time, he's angry. He prays that the Lord would remember what they have done. Tobiah, Sanballat, Noadiah, and all the deceitful prophets, all the false prophets, they have not only threatened the work, now they are messing with his relationship with God. They are using religion to try to manipulate, using the temple, God's house, to work against God's purposes. So Nehemiah is angry, and he prays through his anger. And maybe his prayer doesn't seem particularly gracious to us. Maybe we think that Nehemiah needs to work on forgiveness. But notice that Nehemiah doesn't have any actual plans for getting revenge. He leaves the matter entirely in God's hands. By asking God to remember what they have done, he is putting the whole thing in God's hands. He's understandably angry. I think he would like God to do something about it soon, about this betrayal, these lies, these attacks. But Nehemiah will not be the one to do something about it himself. He will not take matters into his own hands. He will leave it to God. So Nehemiah and those working with him has faced distraction, lies, intimidation. These attacks started from outside of Israel, but those on the inside were bribed or manipulated to bring on even more distraction, lies, and intimidation. And what's worse, in God's name. But verse 15, because Nehemiah could not be distracted or intimidated or misled by false prophecy, the wall was completed in 52 days, which is an impressive reconstruction project in any time period, right? 52 days, the wall was completed. Verse 16, when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. So the surrounding nations, including our favorite three governors, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been accomplished, even though they tried to stop it. And they realized that it had been done with the help of Nehemiah's God. So God did take care of the whole situation for Nehemiah, and relatively quickly. The revenge took the form of a job well done, of God's purposes being fulfilled. And now the tables have turned, and the intimidators are now feeling intimidated. Lies and intimidation are nothing new. In some ways, it's kind of comforting to see how, strangely comforting, to see how kind of messed up things were way back then. Like, oh yeah, it's nothing new. This is just part of the human condition with sin. It's nothing new to have lies going around. But in our day, now lies can spread globally within minutes. And they can keep going that way. Pastor Chris found a current example for me from National Public Radio. Near Sparta, Wisconsin, which I've never been there, at least not yet, on the Fort McCoy Army Base, there are 13,000 Afghan refugees living there right now. Or approximately that many, because this article is like a month old. Men, women, children. And the nearby town, Sparta, is only 9,000 people. So there are more people, more refugees on the army base than there are in the town that's near it. They escaped in August, these refugees. They're waiting to be resettled in communities around the U.S. Many of them helped the U.S. government in some way or helped the military. Some already have jobs lined up, or they have a family somewhere in the U.S. So they kind of have a plan for where they're going to go and what they're going to do. Some just don't know yet. And their future is less certain. Brian Young is a pastor of Faith Evangelical Free Church in Sparta. There he is with his wife, Lisa. He says people read stuff on social media and run with it. Yeah, we've seen that. He says there have been some horrific, just completely false rumors going around, generated on social media. There was one that was shown to be a complete fabrication, says Young. A carjacking out in Fort McCoy by two Afghan men. It never happened, he says, nor was there any event like it. It was a complete fabrication, and it had some people in a stir. So this local pastor is noticing the speed at which an outright lie spread around his community. I don't think that most of us Christians intend to spread lies, but I do fear that we can be too easily manipulated, too easily caught up in the schemes of fear and lies and division, maybe started elsewhere. Also last month, Relevant Magazine, a Christian magazine, recently reported that in 2019, 19 out of the top 20 pages for American Christians were run by Eastern European troll farms overseas. So the 20 pages with the most traffic, most popular 20 Christian pages on Facebook, most popular among American Christians, 19 of those originate overseas. Relevant Magazine continued, "The vast spread of Facebook misinformation is largely powered by coordinated efforts among foreign professionals working together to spread provocative content in the U.S." Wow. Too often, we happily click share because it seems true, or it feels true, or it's partially true, or man, I want it to be true. But let's be sure we're not playing into someone else's plot to divide us, to spread lies. Let's be sure we're not spreading any lies. Be sure what we are saying in person and online is indeed true. Let's not allow the enemy of God, Satan, who the Bible calls the father of lies, let's not allow God's enemy to manipulate us to help his cause instead of God's. We have to be aware of what is going on. Nehemiah's story shows that when God is at work, there will be opposition. So we do need to be wise and discerning, like Nehemiah. That opposition will come in many different forms and from different places. I love Nehemiah's prayer to strengthen his hands. Stay focused on his relationship with God and the work which God has called him to do. With God's help, he didn't get distracted. And as I studied this chapter this week, I was pretty impressed with his steadfastness and his discernment. I mean, so many times he could have set down his tools. He could have spent hours debating the liars and the intimidators. He knew that would only distract from the work. Too often, myself included, we take that bait and get into a fruitless argument, which only distracts from the work that God has for us. So today, I challenge us to stay focused. Seek God and his wisdom. Remember that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Let God handle any opposition because the battle belongs to the Lord. Psalm 27 again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Let's not be distracted or frightened. Let's stay focused on the work that God has called us to do. Amen.